The following program is a presentation of CRN Digital Talk Radio and Les Kincaid. And now it's time for Wines du Jour with your host, Chef Les Kincaid.
Or writes about it, when it's going to say Vegas Golden
Knights,
they're
going to
say Golden Knights.
Yeah. I personally like Silver Knights or Desert Knights better, in my personal opinion, because it's the Silver State or we're in the desert, you know, but I think that was a bad move to just come out with it until you know you have it. Hey, Tomas.
We're in the air.
Let's see.
Thank you for joining us on Wines du Jour. We're at Olivia's Mexican Restaurant in the newly renovated Boulevard Mall in Las Vegas, Nevada. We're America's number one syndicated radio food and wine program, bringing you great information about good wines and great food on each and every episode. Thank you for your inquiring emails sent from your home country, literally from all around the world, from the East Coast, from the Left Coast, from Italy, from Baja California, from South Africa, just about everywhere. Welcome. Our in-house special guest audience is both hungry and thirsty and can't wait to get started, so they're pouring wine as we speak. Tonight's special guest, if he has an opportunity to come over, he's got two or three parties going over here. He's the general manager here at Olivia's Mexican Restaurant, and his name is Roland Paz, and you're going to like him if he gets a chance to come here. Our program broadcasts each week, remembering that each time we are all about whatever it is, and that is wine is food. A meal is a meal, but with a glass of water, it's a celebration. Okay, so you're awake. That's good. We're talking about wine here. From casual gatherings to formal affairs, wine celebrates any event. So remembering also that we discover lots of information about taste and flavor as we enjoy good food and pair it with excellent wines, because wine is bottled poetry. If this is your first time listening to Wines du Jour, stay tuned. You need to know that we do not allow snobbery or intimidation in the room during the broadcast. And Wines du Jour Food and Wine Radio broadcast is distributed in all 50 states, all around the world via radio on CRN Digital Talk Radio Network, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, AHA Radio, and on several worldwide internet outlets all around the globe. And we're also available on podcast and free on iTunes, and you can listen to us as well on Wonder Radio or Warp Radio. You're listening to Wines du Jour. I'm your host, Les Kincaid, and I don't want you to touch that radio dial. We'll be back with fun, information, and great taste right here on Wines du Jour. And remember, a meal without wine is breakfast. I want to talk to you at the beginning of the program this evening for something that we're featuring, and that is Mexican wines. Now, a lot of people aren't even aware that there's Mexican wines, and that's because we don't find it available in our local retail markets. And I'll tell you why. I went to a lot of trouble and searched for quite a while to find out what the real reason is, and I have to tell you, and I am going to tell you, that it has to do with the Mexican government and their taxes. Believe it or not, folks, the Mexican wineries, and I'll tell you about those in just a moment, the Mexican wineries have to pay a 22% tax to take the wine out of the Mexican out of Mexico into the United States. And the United States charges about 1%. So we're talking an actual overall tax for the Mexican wines is 25% added to the cost of their wine. Well, when you take that to a local American retail store and they mark it up, it's going to be much higher than the other wines in their store. Welcome back to Wines du Jour. We're here in the Boulevard Mall, which is being, renovated. It's been here for an awful long time. I moved here in 1978, and it was already here. I don't know how long. I can't tell you what it is, but there's a lot of other shopping malls been built since the time that I moved here, and I can tell you they're new owners of this Boulevard Mall, brand new owners. And they're in renovating and doing an awful lot of changes to try to get people to come back. And one of the things they did is to go out and find a couple of restaurants that would really improve the mall, if you will. And guess what? Olivia's Mexican Restaurant and Bar is number one choice, and that's where we're sitting as we speak. In fact, we're literally on their patio, which is in the hallway, if you will, of this giant mall. So if you hear some unusual noises and so on, please understand that we're at a mall, not in a private room in a freestanding building. I want to talk to you, as I mentioned before we went to the break, about Mexican wines. Now, let me just say a couple things. It's easy to find or locate the wine area in Baja California, which is where I'm really talking about. I don't do much with the main part of Mexico. Baja California is about the only time I go down there. I feel safer and so on and so forth. So that's where we go. We go to either the Rosarita Beach, which we've done several shows from there in the past, or another 30 miles south of that is a town called Ensenada, which is one of our favorite places. In fact, we're going to be broadcasting from Ensenada in March. So that'll be interesting. Now, if you take Ensenada and go directly east about 33 miles, you'll find an area called Guadalupe Valley. Now, Guadalupe Valley, when we first went down there, which is, I guess, around 7 or 8 years ago, there were 58 wineries located in the Guadalupe Valley. Now, Guadalupe Valley, to the Mexicans, is what they call Mexican Napa Valley. It's just like Napa in terms of the terroir, the weather, the temperature, the wind, the rain, all that sort of thing in the Guadalupe Valley is very, very close to that of Napa, and the soil conditions are excellent. So believe it or not, the wineries have increased from 50-some to 110 wineries in the Guadalupe Valley at this point. And there's room for a lot more. My guess is there probably will be a lot more as time progresses. But I want you to know that 110 wineries, all 110 are not the best wines you've ever tasted. But I can tell you that a good percentage of them, 40, 45, 50% are excellent wines. You would be happy to have them in your house at any time. So just because it says Mexican wine doesn't mean it's bad. In fact, it's very, very possible that it's as good or better than what you're accustomed to. And that's a good thing. What we're trying to do is to get the Mexican government to wake up and not be so greedy when it comes to taxes on wine, to where they can actually export from Mexico and we can import from Mexico here in the United States, and you and I can taste it. Now, tonight, we have three wines that you won't find in the grocery store, you won't find in a retail store, but I have to tell you, our audience here this evening is going to taste some wine for the second time over the last couple months. We featured this wine a while back, and we're doing it one more time because it's so good. It's actually called Cava Marcial. Cava Marcial. That's the name of the winery in Guadalupe Valley. Now, Guadalupe Valley is in Baja California, as I said, actually from the border, which everybody knows about the town of Tijuana. When you cross the border at Tijuana, it's about 40 miles to Guadalupe Valley. So it's not very far in terms of overall distance. And it's a great place to visit if you have an opportunity to go down there. They do have some hotels there, and they have several restaurants there, which the restaurants are very, very good. And, of course, they feature the local wines, and that's a good thing because it makes the overall dining experience a very good thing. So that's what I suggest you do, is to go to Guadalupe Valley if you have an opportunity, or keep your eye out at your local retail store. If they start bringing in some Mexican wines, try them. do everybody a favor, including yourself, to try them. They're very good. They've got all the flavors that we're accustomed to. And tonight we actually have a blend that we're going to be giving out to our guests this evening as a prize after the show, which is 30% Grenache, 30% Carnitogen, and 40% Syrah. So it's a nice, unusual, but tasty blend. And I have to tell you that the majority of the wineries are owned and operated by Italian families that are in the wine business in Italy. That's the way it turned out. And the second most popular foreign country that would be represented in Baja, Guadalupe Valley, is Spain. So there's a lot of Spanish owners and a lot of Italian owners in Mexico. So that's pretty cool. And the wines are just absolutely delicious because they go to a lot of trouble with the grapes. You should see at harvest time, which is in the fall, early fall like it is here in the West Coast of the United States, they're out there 24/7, lights on, picking grapes. When it's time, it's time. And they just really bust their fanny, if you will, to get the grapes into the winery so they can start producing some wine. Okay, let's turn our tides now to where we are this evening here at this newly renovated Boulevard Mall in Las Vegas. For those of you that you might live here, but you may not be familiar with the mall, it's actually on Maryland Parkway. So it's not hard to find, been here forever, and it's looking pretty doggone good. They've spent a lot of money, and they're just beginning because they've got a lot of change they're going to be doing, especially the outside and the front. It's going to look a lot different 6 months from now than it does right at the moment. That's just the way it works. So Olivia's Mexican restaurant is exactly that. It's Mexican, but I have to tell you, it's a little bit unique. They don't have just refried beans and tacos and so on. And the enchiladas, which we're going to have one of those this evening, they're not the boring ground beef type of thing. Tonight we're actually going to have grilled chicken enchilada to go along with, believe it or not, our first wine that we have poured, which is 80% Chardonnay, 30% Sauvignon Blanc. Now, every week I talk about the alcohol percentage in our wines that we are tasting because I think that if they're too high, they don't pair with food very, very well. And this particular wine that we're doing now, which is the Chardonnay Sauvignon Blanc blend, is actually 12.5% alcohol. That's pretty good. So I think we're in good shape from that standpoint. Now, the first food that they're going to pair with, it's coming out as we speak, is actually, as I mentioned earlier, a chicken enchilada. But the chicken has been grilled as opposed to poached like they normally do, or fried, if you will, but grilled. And the Amato, they have a sauce that is just really, it's called smoked tomatillo sauce. Now, if you're familiar with tomatillos, and a lot of people, unfortunately, don't recognize that tomatillos is something that you can eat, that they see in the produce section. It looks like a green tomato, and that's what most people think they are, so they just kind of walk right on by them. It is not a tomato. It's called a tomatillo, and it is actually very, very tasty. I just myself bought about a dozen of the tomatillos, put them in my food processor, processed it with a little bit of extra virgin olive oil to make a sauce with some salt and pepper and a little bit of cayenne. And I have to tell you, it is so tasty over ground beef, over steaks, over pork chops, over fish, over just about anything. So if you're not familiar with tomatillos, you might want to check it out. Check with your produce manager. They can show them to you and tell you a little bit about it. It has a covering on it. You have to remove the covering, and it's looks like a green tomato underneath. Very, very tasty. Now, Olivia's has some really good things going for them. Number one, they have a happy hour that goes from 4 to 7, Monday through Friday. So I can't believe the prices. They're very, very reasonable, and the service and the quality is good. This is a brand-new restaurant, so everything here is just sparkly. You know, it's clean, it's white, it's new, and the service is just about as good as you can find anywhere. The kitchen I have to tell you, is actually very good. I had an opportunity to go through the kitchen a while back, and it is very, very nice, the right type of equipment and so on. And the good thing is the chef there only hires people that knows what they're doing. And so the food comes out the way it's supposed to. It not only comes out of the kitchen tasting good, but also looking pretty good, too. And that's a very, very important part of the cuisine business, if you will, is appearance. So it's got to look good, and if it smells good, you know damn good and well it's going to taste good. All you have to do is pick up a fork and try it, and you'll be pleasantly surprised. So food and wine go together like shoes and shoelaces. And that's the way I'd like you to think about wine as opposed to a party thing, a beverage, if you will. Those party beverages are the gin and the scotch and the tequila and the vodka and the bourbon and so on. And that's the way you want to look at those. But when it comes to wine, I want you to think of it as wine is food. And as I say, a meal is a meal, but with a glass of wine, it's a celebration. From casual gatherings to formal affairs, wine helps everything happen. Okay. You should see, and I watched this a little while ago, you should see what comes out of the kitchen for burritos. Now, I'm not a real big burrito fan. I think of it as way too much food wrapped in a tortilla. That just doesn't excite me whatsoever. But here they have some pretty good ones. And then they have a thing called a torta. Now, if you're not familiar with tortas, shame on you. But they serve the tortas with potato frita fries and a fresh mixed green salad. It's pretty nice. It's not just simply, you know, throw a taco on a plate and take it out to you. Then their enchiladas, they have several of them. They've got the typical stuffed cheese enchilada. You can't have a Mexican restaurant without cheese enchiladas. But they also have shrimp camarones. They have grilled chicken salsa verde enchiladas. And they have pulled brisket with chipotle tomatoes, which is going to make it taste pretty doggone good. What they served us just a while ago to go with the Chardonnay Sauvignon Blanc mixture is the chicken, grilled chicken enchilada. What do you guys think? Pretty good, huh? Very, very nice, yeah. So Olivia's is, I guess that is a Spanish name, come to think of it. Otherwise, they probably wouldn't be using it. But Olivia's Mexican restaurant and bar here at the Boulevard Mall is a place to check out. If you live in Las Vegas, check it out. Come to the Boulevard Mart and look around. You'll be amazed at what they've done, and you might want to start shopping here periodically. And it's going to continue on for the next several months, doing more and more and more renovation. So I don't know how you can beat that with a stick. So the other thing I wanted to mention is they have a what they call a five-crust ribeye steak. Now, they take five different chili peppers and grind them up, and then they rub them on the ribeye steak, and then they cook it. Guess what? You're going to have it tonight with our third wine. You're going to find out what it's all about. I thought that was pretty good. Chilarianos, everybody knows about that, and they have some of the best I've seen around. So we've got to go to a break. You're listening to Wines du Jour. I'm your host, Les Kincaid, and we're at Olivia's Mexican Restaurant. And I have to tell you, we've got a server here named Jonathan that is just dynamite. So got to go to a break. We'll be back coast to coast and around the world on the internet when we return right here on Wines du Jour. Welcome back to Wines du Jour. We're having a great time here at the Boulevard Mall, and specifically at Olivia's Mexican Restaurant and Bar. And I have to tell you, the food here is excellent. If you like Mexican food, you should try this. You know, it's amazing how we grow up eating Mexican food at the local mom-and-pop Mexican restaurant. It isn't even close in terms of taste and flavor, and maybe even price, than when you go to Mexico. And I don't mean that the Mexicans do everything a lot different. They really don't. But what the difference is the terroir. That's the soil, the weather, and so on, and the vegetables that they grow, the animals that they feed and so on, that eat grass and what have you. It's just so much different that the taste is different. It's the same thing as you go to Europe. You know, you go to Italy and you taste pasta there, and you come here and eat pasta, and it's not the same at all. That's the reason. It's not that they don't know how to cook here. It's just that they don't have the same exact ingredients available to them. In fact, believe it or not, when it comes to Italy and Europe in general, that would be including Spain and France, there's a lot of ingredients that they have that they sell in those countries that are not allowed to be exported from those countries or imported here in the United States. It's kind of silly, but that's the way it is. And it's based on OSHA, and it's based on the government and the rules and regulations they have for making products when it comes to cuisine. So if they don't do it a certain way with certain temperatures, they don't qualify. They won't allow them to export it from there to here, even though they've been eating it in their home country for hundreds of years. It's kind of amazing, but that's the way it is. You know, what can I say? Well, tonight, I mentioned earlier, we're having the Cava Maciel, the combination of Chardonnay and Sauvignon Blanc at 12.5% alcohol. But I just want you to know that this is called Venus. That would be the white wine from Mexico. So 80-20 is the percentage of the two different varietals that are included. And, you know, it's sometimes we find Chardonnay and Sauvignon Blanc blended together 50-50. But here the Chardonnay is a little bit, I think, tastier, and therefore they only put 20% of Sauvignon Blanc. And Sauvignon Blanc just makes it more food-friendly because, actually, Chardonnay by itself, in general terms, is not conducive to pairing with food. It is the most popular white wine consumed in all of the world. More people drink Chardonnay than any other white wine, no doubt about it, but that doesn't mean it goes with food. Although most people don't think of it that way. They like Chardonnay, so they'll have it with their steak, or they'll have it with their cornflakes, or whatever the case may be. It happens a lot more often than you think. But I just wanted to mention some of the tastes and flavors of this particular blend of Chardonnay and Sauvignon Blanc. You can smell the green apple on this. If you have some left in your glass, kind of swirl it around for a few seconds and take a whiff, and you'll smell green apple. Citrus and pear is also there, and a little bit of tropical fruit. That's all in the nose that you can smell. And the taste, I have to tell you, is pretty good. It's kind of fruity. It's a little bit, I call it hard ends. Not rough or not tasty, but it's right there in front of you. And once you swallow it, it disappears, if you know what I'm saying. So the orange blossom that's in there, it doesn't come out as strong as it might. But it has a nice acidity. It's well-balanced, and it tastes pretty doggone good. And when you swallow it, even though the flavor kind of disappears, you can taste it for a long time. So we call that a long, lingering finish. So that's the way we would describe that. Now, what does this go with besides these beautiful chicken, grilled chicken enchiladas that we're having here at Olivia's? That would be almost any kind of seafood. Whether it's shrimp or lobster or fish, it would go very, very well with. It goes well with white meats. That, would, of course, would include chicken. So that's why it works so well. And it also would go with pasta, not necessarily with a bright red sauce, but pasta. Or this is also very tasty just as an aperitif, maybe having it before dinner. It would work rather than having a Riesling or another varietal. So those are the things that are working there. Okay, now we're getting ready for number two wine to be served. And it is a 2012 that Cava Maciel Lactea, L-A-C-T-E-A, Lactea. That is what they call it in Mexico. And it's 100% varietal is Merlot. So this Merlot is, you know, everybody I think knows what Merlot is. Merlot is probably the second most powerful wine in Europe. Got to go to a break. We'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back to Wine du Jour. We're having a good time here at Olivia's Mexican Restaurant and Bar. And I have to tell you, the Boulevard Mall is a place that's really surprised me. It's very nice. Okay, back to our wine. That was the Cava Maciel Lacti. It's 100% Merlot. And I mentioned before we went to the break that Merlot is the second most popular wine in France. Red wine I'm talking about. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. What has happened many, 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 many years ago when the French started exporting wine to other countries, they started adding Merlot to their Cabernet Sauvignon. Now, the French don't necessarily tell you what's in the bottle. You need to figure it out on your own or not worry about it, and that's what they think you should do, is not worry about it. If you like the taste, that's good enough. But here in America, we tend to be a little more specific about what it is and what it isn't, and how much of this and how much of that, just so that we know. It makes us feel better, I guess. And so what's happened is that Merlot became a bottle that other countries picked up on and started planting and growing grapes and adding it to their Cabernet. Next thing you know, there's an awful lot of Merlot around, and they don't know what the heck to do with it. So they decided that they'd taste it on its own and bottle it on its own. So they started bottling Merlot that you could buy by itself. And I have to tell you, it took off like a rocket. It's very popular. It continues to be more and more. It's not more popular than Cabernet Sauvignon, of course, but it's doggone close. And it goes with a lot of different foods that Cabernet, frankly, doesn't, because Cabernet is a lot more big, bold, fat flavor, if you will, where Merlot is a little more feminine, if you want to look at it that way. It's a little easier to drink. It has all the flavors that Cabernet has, but not as much of that. So what we've had is the color of this is a red garnet color. It has violets. It's clean. It's bright. It's complex in its taste. There's a lot more than one flavor. It has a very nice nose to it, which Merlot almost always does. And there's a lot of red fruit flavors and tastes in this, like prunes and raisins. It's kind of spicy, not hot or anything like that, but a little bit of spicy. And you can taste, here's something you don't normally get, a little chestnut and a little walnut in this wine. So that's something for you wine aficionados to see if you can discover. Also a little bit of cloves. A clove is something that, you know, we get in a lot of different dishes, but not necessarily in a lot of different wines. So cloves kind of stands out there. And last but certainly not least, and something that goes very well with it on its own, and that's chocolate. You can actually taste the chocolate in this Merlot. But if you had some chocolate to taste with the Merlot, you'd be a very happy camper. You know, chocolate doesn't just go with Cabernet Sauvignon. In fact, there's a lot of Cabernet Sauvignons that chocolate does not go very well with, but people don't tend to understand that. They think that chocolate and Cabernet were made for each other. Well, the majority of it, that's probably true. The minority of it, absolutely not. So you could add or replace, if you would, something like Merlot to go with chocolate. Now, what does this wine go with besides this calamari that we're tasting? Well, I have to tell you, a kind of a grilled beef it would go with, whether it's steak or roast or just a piece of red meat, beef, if you will. You could grill it and it'd be very good. Anything that's not too fatty. Now, believe it or not, Merlot doesn't go real well with a lot of fat. Cabernet does. So that's the difference. So if you're looking for barbecue, you might think of Cabernet Sauvignon, but possibly, depending on what it is that you're barbecuing, you might want to substitute it with a nice Merlot. Also, what I love Merlot for is to take fresh tuna, a little bit of extra virgin olive oil on both sides, a little salt and pepper, and put it on the grill, and grill it till it's about 50% cooked through, you know, like maybe 3 minutes on each side instead of seven. So when you cut into it, it's still uncooked, if you will, or the word I guess everybody shrivels at is raw in the middle, but it is the tastiest way to taste tuna. Now, I'm not talking about tuna from a can. I'm talking about filet of tuna. Okay, just so you understand. This also goes, we're talking about Merlot now, also goes very well with any kind of birds. Birds meaning a pheasant, quail, duck, dove, even chicken for that matter. So it'll work out very, very well there. What do you think? This calamari has got a little bit of spice to it. The taste is nice. It has some vegetables with it. The calamari was grilled as opposed to baked or boiled, as they typically do. And the taste is a little bit different because you get some of that carcinogen on the calamari, and it tastes very, very nice. So we like that. I hope you do, too. So, the third item that we want to talk about is a ribeye steak, but I'll talk about that when it comes out. It'll be a little while before it comes out. So let's talk about number three wine. Number three wine is Cava Marcia Luneo. Luneo, that's kind of like moon, you know, Luneo. And it's 100%, here you go for one you might not be familiar with, Muvadre. We've got to go to a break. We'll talk a little bit more about Muvadre this beautiful Mexican wine when we come back. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back coast to coast and around the world on the Internet right here at Olivia's Mexican Restaurant in Las Vegas. Welcome back to Wines Du Jour. We're having a good time here in Las Vegas at Olivia's Mexican Restaurant and Bar. That would be in the Boulevard Mall in Las Vegas on Maryland Parkway. If you haven't been there for a while and you live in this area or you visit Las Vegas, make sure you include a little trip to the Boulevard Mall and see all the renovations and so on that they've done. And it's made it a place that you probably want to go shop or have a meal. And, of course, while you're there, Olivia's is a place to check out for a nice meal for either lunch or dinner. Now, the third wine that we're having this evening, as I mentioned before we went to the break, is 100% Muvadre. I want to finish my little story, if you will, about Merlot, just so that you understand a little bit more about it. It's being the second most popular red wine in France, as I mentioned to you, and that eventually wineries all around the world started growing Merlot, and it ended up that we had so much Merlot juice, but didn't know what the heck to do with it. So what they did is they started bottling it by itself, 100% Merlot, and it really caught on, as I said earlier, and it's really a pretty popular thing. Here, it has that pruny, spicy, raisiny taste to it that you don't necessarily get with Cabernet Sauvignon. And all that means is it goes with more different types of food than Cabernet. Cabernet is kind of not necessarily restricted or limited, but pretty close to things like steaks and chops and roasts and things of that nature, or just by itself. If you like wine, in fact, the story that I like to tell most often is that when you start out as a youngster to drink wine for the first time, of course, you're going to be 21. When that happens, the first wine that you taste is generally a Chablis or a Chardonnay. And you probably got that in your local sports bar or lounge or what have you. And you have no idea what Chablis is. In fact, just so that you know, Chablis is not a varietal. It's not like Chardonnay, Cabernet, Merlot, etc. It is, a Chablis is actually a Chardonnay that they bottle and call it Chablis in France. So they kind of picked up on it. But our American laws do not require you to call the wine in a bottle by the varietal. That's where they allowed them to call it Chablis. And this is where wineries back in the old days, including Ian J. Gallo as an example, when they were selling wines by the jug full, the Chablis was on there. Hardy Burgundy was on there. Burgundy is not a varietal either. So that's the type of thing that we experienced in America until we finally became a little more sophisticated. And now we know the difference between Cabernet and Chardonnay and so on. And there's a lot of choices by comparison to what we had in those days. So I just wanted you to know that Merlot is a good wine to try. It goes really well with grilled beef. I told you earlier, not fatty cuts, not with a lot of marbling. It goes well with seared tuna. It goes very well with all the birds, you know, the quail, the duck, the dove, the chicken, and so on. So then number three that we're tasting now is the Mouvadre. And Mouvadre goes with things in addition to ribeye steak, which we're tasting right as we speak. Don't you wish you were here? Ribeye steak. But it also goes with stew. It goes with braised vegetables. You know, there's people that don't eat meat. Braised vegetables and Mouvadre go very, very well together, along with all kinds of grilled meats, whether it's white meat or red meat. The Mouvadre would probably pair very, very well with it. What I like, as I mentioned it earlier, I'll mention it again because I think it's important, and you guys that are tasting your steak right now, check this out for a little bit of flavor. They've taken five different chilies, ground them up, and made what we would call a rub, and put it on the ribeye before they cooked it. And I'm hoping you do that type of thing at home with steaks and so on, and don't just take a ribeye steak out of the refrigerator or out of a sirloin or a T-bone or a porterhouse. Take it out at least 30 to 45 minutes before you're going to put it on the grill. You do not allow it to go directly from the refrigerator to the grill. That's silly. First of all, it almost automatically makes your meat real tough. So if you allow it to come to room temperature, that could be 30, 45, even an hour if you want it, you know, if it depends how busy you are. But a lot more than 10 or 15 minutes, that's not really enough. It's still too cold to put it on a hot grill. I mean, it just, if you think about it, it doesn't make sense that you would ever do that. So what different kinds of steaks are there besides ribeye? And I mentioned them real quick here a moment ago, and that would be a typical sirloin steak. Is not an uncommon one. It's not the most tender by any stretch of the imagination. The more tender steaks are T-bone or porterhouse. And just so that you know, there's a piece of meat that comes out of the beef. At one end of it is called T-bone. The other end of that same piece of meat is called porterhouse because the size is larger on the porterhouse is larger than the T-bone. So if you're real hungry, porterhouse is what you want. If you're not so hungry, but you want a good steak that's going to be tasty and a little bit tender, you would order a T-bone. Make sense to you? I hope so. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this 100% Mouvadre, some of the flavors and tastes that it has, and we'll be back coast to coast and around the world on the internet when we return right here at Olivia's Mexican Restaurant and Bar, the Boulevard Mall in Las Vegas, Nevada, where you should be. Welcome back to Wines du Jour. Boy, I'll tell you, we are really doing it tonight. The food here is incredible. Chicken enchilada, and the chicken was grilled. It was very good with an annatto sauce. Smoked tomatillo sauce as well. just a nice little conglomerate, if you will, of sauces to go with the enchilada. Then we went to a grilled calamari o fuego. That is something that was very tasty, had a little bit of spice in it, and it went so well with our second wine, which was 100% Merlot. And our third, which we're consuming as we speak, is our 2012 Casa Macia Luneo, which is 100% Muvadre varietal. Very tasty, very good, going very well with a ribeye steak. Smoked tomatillo sauce is what you see on top of that, along with a little bit of salsa. And this is the one I mentioned a couple times already about taking five different types of peppers, grinding them all up together, and making a rub to go on the steak before. And I'm just telling you, if you have some favorite peppers that you like, dried peppers we're talking about, grind them up. I think you'll be very pleasantly surprised at how tasty that is. We're going to have an opportunity for a couple minutes anyway to talk with the general manager here at Olivia's Mexican Restaurant and Bar. His name is Roland Paz. And Roland, thank you very much for taking time out of what I see as your very busy schedule this evening and give us a little bit of information about Olivia's.
First of all, thank you for joining us today.
And, sure.
And I hope that everybody enjoyed our meals that we presented. Our menus can be found on oliviaslv.com. We do catering as well. All this was presented as items that we make every day here in the restaurant. All of our recipes, we don't have a chef here in our restaurant. All of our recipes are developed from every single one of our team members that work here. We all sat down at tables just like you are sitting at today. And we kind of compiled a whole bunch of stuff. And it was a fun day eating and drinking, I could tell you that much.
And get paid, too.
Yeah. But, you know, we came down. It was about 70 items that we had on our menu originally, which got whittled down to about 50, which is whittled down to now about 35 menu items that you see on our menu. Which are the most popular items, and we're still considered a mariscos, which means seafood at heart, okay? That's why you'll see some of our traditional items like pulpo, which is grilled octopus. The calamari is cooked in a traditional sense, and it's not fried like you might see in some restaurants today.
That sounds really great. Well, how long have you been open?
We're coming up on our eighth month now, and a lot of this, a lot of our success is, honestly, it's word of mouth. We don't have much in our budget as far as advertising goes, so we're very dependent on Yelp reviews, Facebook check-ins, whatnot. And you can take a look today at some of our reviews. We have over 100 reviews. We're currently ranked at about 4.8 out of 5 stars, and we take pride in that, you know? I mean... Being that we're all collectively invested in this, in Olivia's restaurant, you know, each of us acts as if our name is written on the side of the building. And we hope that it shows in our service.
Well, I mentioned earlier that the ownership has changed here at the Boulevard Mall, and they're looking to get some nice restaurants and so on, and you were the first ones they picked to come in here. That's
yes.
Really saying something good.
Yeah, the Boulevard itself has undergone a $53 million renovation, and we are on the front of that. Opening this weekend, as a matter of fact, our neighbors down the way, Sequest,
go ahead.
You know, and we're part of that grand scheme of $53 million.
All right, we got to go. Time flies when you're having a good time. I want to thank Jeremy Knight for doing the engineering. We'll see you hopefully next week right here on Wines du Jour. Good night, everybody.